This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush's immigration proposal got a mostly cool response from those who grapple with the issue, with conservatives saying it goes too far, immigrant rights groups saying it doesn't go far enough, and some Hispanic groups calling it a hollow electioneering ploy. Lucas Benitez from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which represents thousands of immigrants who work mostly in agriculture and in service sectors in Florida, questioned Bush's motives, calling it a political ploy to get Hispanic votes. And David Ray, spokesman for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which advocates limits on immigration, argued that Bush's policies undermine American workers' wages and encourage illegal immigration. A U.S. Black Hawk medevac helicopter crashed Thursday near Fallujah in Iraq, killing all 9 soldiers aboard, the U.S. military said. A witness said the helicopter, which bore red crosses, was hit in the tail by a rocket. At Baghdad International Airport, meanwhile, an Air Force C-5 transport plane with 63 passengers and crew aboard made an emergency landing, and a senior official at the Pentagon said the plane was hit by hostile fire. Former Colorado Senator Gary Hart is seriously considering a challenge to Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell, according to party sources in the state. The two-term senator and two-time presidential candidate recently discussed a possible bid with national and state party leaders who are urging him to jump in, said Democratic sources in Washington and Colorado, who requested anonymity. Iraq posed no imminent threat to the United States, and there was no solid evidence that President Saddam Hussein was cooperating with the Al-Qaeda terror network, a private think tank maintained Thursday. The administration systematically misrepresented a weapons threat from Iraq, and U.S. strategy should be revised to eliminate the policy of unilateral preventive war, said Jessica T. Matthews, Joseph Siracone, and George Perkovich of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. More IE American Network news after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Thieves with an apparent hankering for hog and red meat stole as much as 1.5 tons from a packing plant over the weekend, according to Pennsylvania State Police. The pork and other meat was pilfered Saturday night or Sunday morning at the Alfrey's Sausage Company in East Huntingdon Township, about 20 miles southeast of Pittsburgh, when thieves pried open a door and ransacked the building. Those responsible also broke into a U.S. Department of Agriculture office, but apparently found nothing to their liking, police said. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
I have exciting news for those of you who worry that American industry is losing its creative edge. America West Airlines has just implemented a stunning innovation that is certain to revive this sagging industry and assure profits, new jobs, and happy skies as far as the horizon extends. The innovation? Ads on tray tables. Yes, just when you thought that surely there was not another space left anywhere in our country for corporations to put more ads, along comes America West to slap you right in the face with an ad every time you flip down your tray table on one of its flights. The airline is selling ads to cover every tray top on each of its planes, and it already has Visa, Mercedes-Benz, and Bank of America on board for this flighty idea. Advertisers pay $3,300 per plane to hawk their stuff via tray tables to what they call a captive audience. Indeed, an audience literally strapped to its seats. Tray tables are said to be the brainstorm of marketeer Nick Pagic, Seems more like a slight breeze than a brainstorm to me, but this is what passes for innovation in corporate America today. Paget gushes that ads on Tray Tops will, quote, be one of the most powerful and influential media. Oh, sure, I'm going to rush off the plane and buy a Mercedes because of an ad on my tray table. No wonder our economy is in trouble. If you think you can escape by flying on some other carrier, America West marketing honcho warns that it seems to be a no-brainer for other airlines to follow suit once we've blazed the trail. It's enough to make you reach for the barf bag. They admit that tray table ads are just a start as airlines seek other ways to jack up their revenues. Yeah, why not run a constant stream of ads over the PA system, or start charging for pillows, or assessing a fee for those who want to have an oxygen mask available to them? This is Jim Hightower saying, or here's a loopy idea. Why not improve service so flying becomes a pleasant experience rather than an ordeal?
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Yeah, we're here. Thank you very much for joining us. It's Thursday evening. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us as we progress through this cold. And actually, there's some snow flurries out there, Kathy. It's cold and snowy evening here in the Atlanta area. If you'd like to call, 800-TALK-YES is the number, 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. We have some... We have some sound for you tonight where you'll hear two secretaries of state kind of arguing with each other, except it's the same guy. We have Colin Powell from back in February and Colin Powell from today, because the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace is the official title, released its report today on the Iraq situation and... states that the United States systematically misrepresented the so-called threat. Now, if this is not impeachable, then there is nothing that is impeachable. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. George Bush could walk into the street and put a bullet in somebody's head and walk back and sit down and have some frog legs or something, and it'd be okay. If what this Bush administration did regarding Iraq, and there's nothing new here that you and I don't know. The only people who might be surprised are people who don't know how to read to begin with, and those are the ditto heads and the followers of the Republican Party. I mean, here it is, what you and I have known for, 2 years? Since before the invasion. But the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace has released the report, and... we will get into a little bit this evening, along with comments by Colin Powell. Colin Powell has turned out, we finally know now how Colin Powell advanced to the position that he advanced to, if we had any question. No, it wasn't affirmative action. Don't even go there. What it was his ability to kiss ass. I don't know how else to put it. He was an ass kisser of the highest order. A lot of the people who served with him in the military during Vietnam had said that early on, that Colin Powell was nothing more nor less than what we used to call a brown nose, but let's call it ass kisser now. And that's how he advanced. That's how he got to the position that he was in. I would go one step further and say Colin Powell is a liar. And I'll tell you something else. I don't make predictions. Here's one. Colin Powell will, within the next 90 days, Colin Powell is gone. He is gone. Completely gone. Because it's clear now the degree to which he sold his soul and whatever shreds of integrity, he didn't have much, but whatever shreds of integrity that Colin Powell still possessed back in February, they're gone. He sold. He sold out completely to this Bush crime family. Now, I don't want to get into it now, so if you've got comments about it, hold your comments, please, okay? We're going to get into it later because I want you to hear the sound that goes with it. Just astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. But in keeping with the kind of loosey-goosey format of the program, I have a couple other stories here I want to get into just briefly. This comes from the Mobile Register. I guess that's Mobile, Alabama. A mother down there was going to buy a Christmas present. She wanted to buy a Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's a computer program. Microsoft Flight Simulator. I think I've seen these things advertised on television where you can slide in the DVD or the tape or whatever, and off you go. You know, it's a flight simulator. She wanted to buy one for her 10-year-old son. For Christmas. You're way ahead of me on this, aren't you? You know where this story's going. 10-year-old son, Microsoft Flight Simulator, and the fact that she wanted to buy one resulted in a nighttime visit to her home from a state trooper. The woman, Julie Oliarchek, is the United States Air Force Reserve pilot. She's in the military. She made the inquiry about the Microsoft Flight Simulator, at a Staples store. Yeah, we got that, in Massachusetts. Now, if you remember, there's a town in Massachusetts, Salem, Massachusetts, that about 300, 400 years ago had another bout of hysteria. Not totally unlike what the Bush administration has force-fed into this country. But anyway, it was a Staples store in Massachusetts. She asked the clerk. Now, apparently the clerk at Staples got so alarmed at the prospect of a 10-year-old learning to fly. Don't ask. A 10-year-old learning to fly that he called the police. The police moved into action. A few days after her inquiry, Julie Oliarchek discovered a state trooper beaming a flashlight into her home through a sliding glass door at 8:30 at night on a rainy evening. Now, Miss Oliarchek is a regular Staples customer. She also homeschools her kid. The Staples manager simply explained that his staff was obeying advice. Advice. Now, who do you suppose the advice came from? That's right. Shortly before Christmas, the FBI issued a terror alert to beware of drivers with maps or reference books or almanacs. And apparently the Staples clerk thought that included a video game. Okay, it's not a game. A flight simulator for a 10-year-old. You know, at one time it was unusual, if not... Well, it certainly was rare to find U.S. citizens in the safest and most prosperous country on the planet in the history of humankind jumping at our own shadows. Now, we only note how high we jump. Thanks. Who sent this to me? G-Pan. G-Pan, thanks for the story. Can you believe that? Sure you can. This is Bush's America. This is America. This is America 2004, where we seem to be, I don't know, I'm not afraid. Are you afraid? I'm not the least bit of, I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of this mafia that runs this country now, these fascists that run the country. Are you afraid of a terrorist? Are you afraid to go to a Times Square New Year's Eve? Are you afraid to go to a shopping mall? Are you afraid to board a flight? Are you really? Of course you are not. But these people in Washington, in the Bush crime family, are trying their damnedest to follow the fascist model, the model carefully laid out by Joseph Goebbels. Instill fear into the population, it makes them much more malleable, much more easy to manipulate. And then they get all pissed off when somebody says, hey, you know, I think the Bush crime family and the Hitler crime family are very similar. I think I'll make a 30-second video that shows the similarities. And since the video, I may morph this stupid freak in the White House into the stupid freak that ran Nazi Germany. Bechtel, the giant construction company known for its close ties to Republicans, got another $1.8 billion contract, another one, to rebuild Iraq. And Bush administration officials say politics had nothing to do with it. Oh, my God. Now, this is a company whose executives, it's like so many executives in so many companies, we're there. See, we're there. We're at corporatism or fascism. Take your pick. It doesn't matter. We're talking about Mussolini, Italian-style fascism. We are there. We have arrived. Bechtel executives gave thousands upon thousands of dollars to Bush's 2000 election campaign. Two of the company's top executives serve on advisory boards to the White House and the Defense Department. Now, they got a $680 million Iraqi reconstruction contract last April. Now they've got another $1.8 billion in the Bush crime family. We don't know anything about this. We have no idea how have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Oh my God. Doc sent me this from Wisconsin. There's a state senator there, Judy Robson, and she found out, guess what she found out? Well, first of all, she knows that manufacturing jobs are disappearing nationwide and in Wisconsin. So she found out that, well, she already knew this, too, that when people can't find work in Wisconsin, they sometimes put their pride aside and they apply for a Wisconsin Quest card, it's called. It's the electronic debit card that replaced paper food stamps. I think that's used here in Georgia, too. It's a card now. You no longer see people standing in line in front of you pulling out those 5 and 10 and what else were they, Kathy? $2 coupons, food coupons. Now they just have a debit card. Now, Judy Robson, writing in one of the newspapers up there, said when these down-on-their-luck folks have a question about their Quest card or account, they call a toll-free number that reaches a call center. Not in Madison, Wisconsin, not in Green Bay, Wisconsin, not in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, but in India. She writes, it is cruel irony that unemployed cardholders find themselves speaking with a person using a fake American name and a fake American accent who is employed through a state of Wisconsin contract. She says, many of my unemployed constituents would jump at the chance to have a customer service job with a company that has a state contract. Now, on December 5th, apparently Lou Dobbs on CNN pointed out the absurdity of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development outsourcing jobs to India. And Dobbs noted on his program, yes, that's the same department in charge of finding work for unemployed residents in the state of Wisconsin. Can you believe this? Can you believe, what is it? What the hell is going on in this country? What is going on? By the way, this was put together when Tommy Thompson was the governor. What is going on? Somebody, please, now don't call. Just shriek it into the night if you have an answer. What is going on in this country?
I'm afraid to put the light on. I'm so afraid I've lost control. I'm suffocating without a word. Crazy with sweat. Spittle on my jaw. What's that funny noise? What's that on the floor?
The farther we got away from September the 11th, the more likely it would be that I would continue to have to convince people that we live in a dangerous world, and we do.
I hate my own self. I know where I must be. I must be in hell. Waves of fear. Waves of fear.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Tom Hartman Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, so a state senator in Wisconsin, Judy Robson, discovers that when people who are on food stamps and using the Wisconsin Quest card in order to secure those, well, not to secure the stamps, but to pay for their food purchases, not really food stamps, it's the card that replaced food stamps. If somebody has a question about the card and they call an 800 number, the call winds up with a service representative in India. Here's how it works. Oh, and as Senator Robson says, many of my unemployed constituents would jump at the chance to have a customer service job with a company that has a state contract. Well, sure. The Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services contracts with Citicorp Electronic Financial Services for management of the Quest card system. Citicorp subcontracts with something called MFaces-BFL, whose subsidiary, MSource, operates the call centers in India. The Department of Health and Family Services inherited the contract from the Department of Workforce Development, which negotiated the five-year contract in 1999 during the Tommy Thompson administration. Let's see. Isn't he? Oh, that's right. He's now in the Bush cabinet, isn't he? Yes, he is. Senator Dobson says outsourcing these jobs to India is as absurd as Made in America Walmart outsourcing janitorial jobs to illegal residents. It is as absurd as the Bush administration outsourcing Iraqi reconstruction efforts with no-bid contracts to Halliburton and Bechtel, companies that have no apparent regard for keeping expenses down as long as they can fatten the earnings of executives and shareholders. And then Senator Robson mentioned something that most of us know. We know it instinctively if we don't know the exact figures. The University of California Berkeley researcher said that 30,000 American jobs were lost to India alone in 1 month, June of this year. The researcher, who happens to be Indian, estimated that 14 million additional U.S. service jobs are vulnerable to being exported.
Well, if they're vulnerable, they are going to go. They will go to India. And if not to India, to Pakistan.
No, I'm not mocking, for God's sake. Kathy always gives me these looks like, you are such a liberal. You are so PC.
Yeah.
Senator Robson says the state of Wisconsin should demand that companies with which it contracts keep the jobs in the United States. Well, there's a radical idea, Senator Robson. It certainly is radical. To that end, she and one of her colleagues drafted legislation to keep jobs in America. The bill is called the American Jobs Act. And under the provisions of the bill, which would only apply to Wisconsin, remember we're talking about state senators here, all contractual services purchased by state agencies in Wisconsin must be performed in the United States. The only exception is when the services cannot be obtained in this country. What the hell? What service could not be obtained in this country? There is none. So there you have it. Thanks, Doc, for the article. It's astonishing, isn't it? People who use the food stamp replacement card, the Quest card, Wisconsin Quest card, have a question. They dial an 800 number and they get somebody. Hello, may I help you? My name is Joe Smith. What is your name? I am go Green Bay. I like football. Football is good. Quick break. We'll be right back.
I saw the boss come a-walking down along the factory line, saying, boys, we have to tighten up our belts. But he didn't look any thinner than he did a year ago, and I wonder just how hungry that man felt. He knows it ain't hard to get along with somebody else's troubles. They don't make him lose any sleep at night. Just as long as fate is out there busting somebody else's bubble, everything is gonna be alright. And I ask the under...
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Hibernation might be the key to healthier organ transplants. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Hibernating ground squirrels can give us insight into more successful liver transplants. University of Wisconsin-Madison veterinary researcher Hannah Carey says hibernating animals keep their internal organs healthy for long periods, even while their body temperatures drop close to freezing. Carey says it's similar to the cold storage human organs are put into while awaiting transplant, but human tissue is often damaged during this refrigeration.
The temperature that people store organs like livers in the cold happens to be the same body temperature that animals often hibernate. The species we study can go for up to at least 3 weeks straight in a cold stored condition. So we said, can these animals tell us how to maintain the viability of an organ with long-term cold storage?
Carey and her research team transplanted the livers of rats which don't hibernate and ground squirrels which do. The transplanted rat livers were in far worse shape than those of the hibernators. For comparison, Carey transplanted the livers of ground squirrels during non-hibernation season. They fared somewhere in between the hibernators and the rats.
And that tells us that being a species that hibernate probably just confers protection because there's already that ability built into their genes to be able to protect themselves that allow their organs to resist these extreme states.
Carey wants to identify the molecules that protect the ground squirrel's livers in the cold. She says that could help doctors precondition human organs awaiting transplant, increasing their storage time and improving the likelihood of successful operations. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Now, what else we have here? If, I think we covered this on the program. Towards the end of the year, just passed, Bush promised retirees that if a Medicare reform bill, if he were to sign a Medicare reform bill, corporations would not be allowed to dump retirees from their existing drug coverage, something to that effect, if you remember. Now, this was a concern to a lot of people who are on a pension, the old-style government, not government, but a corporate pension plan where they have Medicare, drug benefits, health care benefits, and so on and so forth. And Bush said, no, don't worry. What we're talking about is trust. Now, the Bush's congressional allies backed up the statement by claiming that the bill that was passed included a special tax subsidy to, quote, encourage employers to retain prescription drug coverage, close quote, for the retirees, not to cut them off. However, according to the Daily Mislead, just 3 months after Bush's pledge, Wall Street Journal now reports that the White House quietly added a little notice provision to the bill that allows companies to severely reduce or almost completely terminate the retirees' drug coverage without losing out on the new subsidy. In other words, Bush did not just break his promise to sign a bill that prevents seniors from losing their existing drug coverage. He actually acted to reward companies who do cut off their retirees with a lavish new tax break for those companies. Is there anything that this guy can do, Bush, that is so egregious, that is so vile to, I don't care who it is, some group, some retirees, young people, students in elementary school, folks looking for college Pell grants, workers, steel, people in the steel industry, farm. Is there any group that Bush can slash and burn without that group saying, oh, we love you, George, we're going to vote for you again. Oh, beat us again. Kick it, veterans. Beat us again. Kick us again, George. We love you. Now, adding this little provision that allowed companies to reduce or almost completely end retirees' drug coverage. That was not a mere oversight by George W. Bush. The major backers of this little provision that nobody knew about were Lucent Technologies, General Motors, Dow Chemical, SBC Communications. All of these folks, all these companies are major campaign contributors to Bush and the Republicans. According to the nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics, executives from those companies have donated $140,000 in hard money and $2.5 million in soft money to Bush and the Republicans since he stole the election. So it's payback. That's all it is. It's just payback. How much of this can people put up with before folks come out of the ether and say, you know, I don't think George Bush is working on my behalf? How much? Jerry is calling from Sparks, Nevada. Hey, Jerry. Hey. Nevada. I'm sorry. You're not supposed to say Nevada. I understand.
Hey, Truth Giver.
Yeah.
You know, that Gollum bit you did last night was great.
Hey, that was by a very talented actor. I've come to find out who's. I think it's a person who played Gollum in the film, frankly. But yeah, that was pretty good. Wasn't it? It was excellent.
It was great.
Excellent.
I think there's a lot of discontent in the right wing radio land now. Bush may have stepped on his own
thingy
tool now with this guest worker thing.
Yeah, the immigration thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard people call. There's a right-wing station out here. That's their editorial policy, that they just go for that niche audience of right-wing whiners. And and people that called in today, just every caller was brokenhearted. They were using words like sick to the heart that Bush would do this. The only guy that was defending him came up with, oh, well, God works in mysterious ways.
Right. Republicans are such a creepy, weird, whiny, nasty-ass breed of sourpusses, aren't they?
You remember that study a little while back about they're the ones that have all the nightmares, and they live their lives under fears and anxieties. And
I mean, here is George Bush, who does everything for these right-wing whiners except what Monica did for Bush, Bill. Bush does everything for them. Everything. Plus, he steals their jobs. He undercuts their retirement. He destroys their Social Security. They still love him. And then he does something about immigrants, illegal immigrants, or whatever the hell it is he's done. I still don't know what he's done. He hasn't done anything. This is just something to toss out there to convince the Latino vote that George Bush loves you. The Republican Congress is never going to pass this, okay?
Yeah.
But he brings his stuff up, and then the right-wingers, the Republicans, are, oh, he's breaking my heart. This is heartbreaking. I didn't think my president would ever do this to me. What do these pissants want? What do they want?
I don't know, but that's all I had, Mike. Thanks for your show.
Sure, you bet. I think I just scared him to death. Start screaming at the callers. You shouldn't do that, Mike. Shouldn't do that. Meantime, I guess you all have heard about the plot to the terrorist plot in the United States. William Krar and a bunch of white supremacists. They had been caught in Texas before they could explode cyanide bombs in the United States. Huh? Jeff sent this to me. And it was reported today in The Guardian of London, Julian Borger, writing from Washington. Let me just quote here. Three Americans are due to be sentenced next month for their involvement in a plot to explode a cyanide bomb capable of killing thousands of people. This is a case that has served as a reminder that homegrown terrorism in the U.S. is still a menace in a country permanently braced for another attack from abroad. Yeah, you know, the writer, Julian Borger, isn't this so typically the United States? If these guys would have been Muslims, they would have been all over. I mean, my God, every single talking head on television and radio, every newscast would lead with a story, but they're whites. They're a bunch of whites from Texas who decided, these people, these are the real sick elements of Republican, Christian right-wing, gun-crazy fascists in this country. These people are really sick. You know, Bush is a moron, but these white supremacists are just sick. The article says it's still unclear for what the bomb and the arsenal of other weapons unearthed in the small town of Noonday, Texas, would have been used. The conspirators, right-wing extremists who were caught with forged identity passes to the UN and the Pentagon, and a variety of racist and anti-government pamphlets have refused to cooperate with investigators. And the investigators believe others involved in the plot may still be at large. Now, who's the central figure in this case? A guy named William Krar, K-R-A-R, small-scale manufacturer of gun components. He pled guilty to possessing a chemical weapon. He faces a possible life sentence. See, this is one of those cases where I'm afraid to, you know, I would advocate the death penalty, although I'm against the death penalty. I don't know. The plot was uncovered by accident in early 2002 when William Krar and his partner Judith Brewey posted a package to a third conspirator, Edward Feltus, a member of a right-wing group called the New Jersey Militia. Ooh! The package, filled with fake identity documents and a note saying, "We would hate to have this fall into the wrong hands," fell into the wrong hands. Huh? It was delivered to the wrong person. So anyway, to make a long story short, when investigators searched a storeroom rented by this freak and his girlfriend in Noonday, Texas, 100 miles east of Dallas, they found 500,000 rounds of ammunition, 65 pipe bombs, and briefcases that could be detonated by remote control, as well as 800 grams of almost pure sodium cyanide. According to the L.A. Times, the cyanide was already packed in an ammunition canister next to a variety of acids and bomb-making formulas. Investigators believe that such a bomb could send up a cloud of poison that could kill everyone everywhere or something. Reports said it was clearly one of the most lethal arsenals associated with U.S. paramilitary right in the past 20 years. Well, there's no question, had William Krar been a Muslim, you know where this would have been announced, right? Ashcroft would have asked for immediate time on the CNN and MSNBC and the Fox News liars. And he would have stood there after dousing himself in Crisco oil and asking for Jesus' blessing. He would have explained, "Well, we have caught all these terrorists, all these Muslim bastards who worship at the false God and don't like our Jesus." But these were Christian-believing, right-wing, white supremacists. So how do you hear about this story? Well, you really don't. You really don't. The guy behind all this, William Krar, had been arrested on previous occasions on gun charges, always released. Well, the next attack on this country is not going to come, in my opinion, from outside the country at all. It's going to come from somebody, probably one of these right-wing freaks or somebody hired by George Bush or John Ashcroft or Tom Ridge to perpetrate an act of terror and violence and death and destruction against the people in this country in order to reelect George Bush. That's very simple, isn't it? Okay, what else we got here? K Castro is on the radar screen again. Roger Noriega, who is our Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs. That's right. His name's Noriega. You don't know. Couldn't be. He is the Bush crime family's so-called point man on Latin America. He accused Fidel Castro the other day of promoting provocative policies to destabilize democratic governments and warned Castro that he was playing with fire. Somebody in the Bush administration accuses somebody else of trying to destabilize governments or promoting provocative policies? This is the group who tried to overthrow and almost did overthrow Hugo Chavez of Venezuela? Well, Noriega went on to single out Chavez, calling on him to observe the rule of law. Noriega, our guy, said, Hugo, you must observe the rule of law. In the run-up to the possible election coming up on Chavez's presidency. Speaking at a news conference in New York, following a speech at the Council of the Americas, Noriega accused Castro, whom he called a broken-down old dictator who doesn't cast much of a shadow, of sowing unrest in countries in the region. He did not identify the countries or what the unrest is. But Noriega did say, it should be very clear to Fidel Castro that his actions have caught the attention of Latin America leaders, and that his actions to destabilize Latin America are increasingly provocative to the inter-American community. And those that continue in destabilizing democratically elected governments, interfering in the internal affairs of other governments, are playing with fire. Guess who's next? See, the Bush is trying everything. This is to try to lock down the Florida vote, the Cuban vote in South Florida. These right wing extremists who you know, the Batista, the ones who hated to see Cuba stop being a international house of ill repute under Batista with the gambling and the prostitution and the drugs. And then when Castro overthrew these filthy bastards, you know, at first the United States supported it. The Eisenhower government kind of supported it because Castro said he was an agrarian reformer. And then once he solidified power, he said, guess what? I'm not an agrarian reformer. Well, I am, but I'm really a communist. Well, and then we just went crazy and have been crazy for the past 40 years or 45, whatever it's been. Meanwhile, Cuba has somehow survived. They have one of probably the best universal health care system in the Western Hemisphere. They have one of the best education systems in the Western Hemisphere. They're poor as church mice, but they continue. They struggle. They make it. And Castro has outlasted what now? 10 presidents? 8? 7 in this country? So now Roger Noriega, Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs in the Bush crime family, says Castro is playing with fire. Don't you just want to? I don't know. Don't you want to just do something ugly? Okay, this is the last thing I've got. And coming back after the break at the top of the hour, we are going to do the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and their report that was released today and some of the comments by Colin Powell regarding that report, his comments today and his comments of 10, 11 months ago when he went before the United Nations Security Council, you all remember that, and sat there and lied and lied and lied. And the juxtaposition of these different comments from today and from 11 months ago will let you see just what a smarmy little Dudley Do-Right Colin Powell either has become or has been all his life. You know, whatever you tell me to do, fellas, I'll do it because, you know, I was a general. I was on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I'm Secretary of State. Anything. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it. I don't care. Anything. I'll lie. I'll cheat. I'll steal.
It's over. It ain't going any further. Ready for
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, the study from the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, released today, says that the Iraq weapons of mass destruction did not represent an imminent threat. UN inspections were working. U.S. intelligence was misrepresented. And the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq was neither the best option nor the only option. Some of the findings of the report: Iraq's weapons of mass destruction program was not an immediate threat. Iraq's nuclear program had been suspended for many years. Iraq focused on preserving a latent dual-use chemical and probably biological weapons capability, not weapons production. Compare that with, oh, the United States and the UK's weapons. Oh, never mind. Iraqi nerve agents had lost their lethality as far back as 1991. Operations Desert Storm and Desert Fox and UN inspections and sanctions effectively destroyed Iraq's large-scale chemical weapon production capabilities. Post-war searches suggest the UN inspections were on track to find out what was there. International constraints, sanctions, procurement, investigations, and the import-export control mechanism appear to have been considerably more effective than was thought. The intelligence community overestimated the chemical and biological weapons in Iraq. We're talking about the U.S. Intelligence Committee, appears to have been unduly influenced by policymakers' views. Gee, who could that have been? Officials misrepresented threats from Iraq's weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missiles programs over and above intelligence findings. No solid evidence of cooperative relationship between Saddam's government and Al-Qaeda. No evidence that Iraq would have transferred weapons of mass destruction to terrorists, and much evidence to counter it, and no evidence to suggest that deterrence was no longer operable. It is probably the worst example in the history of this country. I mean, it's even worse than in the Spanish-American War, possibly worse than the Mexican-American War, what this Bush crime family has done, and how many American service members were killed today.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A U.S. Black Hawk medevac helicopter crashed Thursday near Fallujah in Iraq, killing all 9 soldiers aboard, the U.S. military said. A witness said the helicopter, which bore red crosses, was hit in the tail by a rocket. At Baghdad International Airport, meanwhile, an Air Force C-5 transport plane with 63 passengers and crew aboard made an emergency landing, and a senior official at the Pentagon said the plane was hit by hostile fire. The military also said a U.S. soldier died Wednesday of injuries suffered in a mortar attack that wounded 33 other troops and a civilian west of Baghdad. The deaths brought to at least 495 the number of Americans killed in Iraq since the start of the war in March, according to U.S. Central Command and the Defense Department. Iraq posed no imminent threat to the United States, and there was no solid evidence that President Saddam Hussein was cooperating with the Al-Qaeda terror network, a private think tank maintained Thursday. The administration systematically misrepresented a weapons threat from Iraq, and U.S. strategy should be revised to eliminate the policy of unilateral preventive war, said Jessica T. Matthews, Joseph Sirinicone, and George Perkovich of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Secretary of State Colin Powell immediately disagreed, saying he was very confident in the case against Iraq that he presented to the United Nations last February. George W. Bush's immigration proposal got a mostly cool response from those who grapple with the issue, with conservatives saying it goes too far, immigrant rights groups saying it doesn't go far enough, and some Hispanic groups calling it a hollow electioneering ploy. Lucas Benitez from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which represents thousands of immigrants who work mostly in agriculture and in service sectors in Florida, questioned Bush's motives, calling it a political ploy to get Hispanic votes. And David Ray, spokesman for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which advocates limits on immigration, argued that Bush's policies undermine American workers' wages and encourage illegal immigration. More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A man wearing a chicken suit robbed a Kroger grocery store last week in Columbus, Ohio. Police said a white man wearing a mask and a bright yellow chicken suit with orange chicken feet entered a Kroger store about 11:30 p.m. Friday. The robber showed employees a gun and demanded cash from the store's safe. A store's surveillance camera captured the robbery on tape. Police said they can't make a connection between the Kroger robbery and one in Delaware in December when a man wearing a Santa costume robbed a Wendy's fast food restaurant. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have exciting news for those of you who worry that American industry is losing its creative edge. America West Airlines has just implemented a stunning innovation that is certain to revive this sagging industry and assure profits, new jobs, and happy skies as far as the horizon extends. The innovation? Ads on tray tables. Yes, just when you thought that surely there was not another space left anywhere in our country for corporations to put more ads, along comes America West to slap you right in the face with an ad every time you flip down your tray table on one of its flights. The airline is selling ads to cover every tray top on each of its planes, and it already has Visa, Mercedes-Benz, and Bank of America on board for this flighty idea. Advertisers pay $3,300 per plane to hawk their stuff via tray tables to what they call a captive audience. Indeed, an audience literally strapped to its seats. Tray tables are said to be the brainstorm of marketeer Nick Pagic. Seems more like a slight breeze than a brainstorm to me, but this is what passes for innovation in corporate America today. Paget gushes that ads on tray tops will, quote, be one of the most powerful and influential media. Oh, sure. I'm going to rush off the plane and buy a Mercedes because of an ad on my tray table. No wonder our economy is in trouble. If you think you can escape by flying on some other carrier, America West marketing honcho warns that it seems to be a no-brainer for other airlines to follow suit once we've blazed the trail. It's enough to make you reach for the barf bag. They admit that tray table ads are just a start as airlines seek other ways to jack up their revenues. Yeah, why not run a constant stream of ads over the PA system or start charging for pillows or assessing a fee for those who want to have an oxygen mask available to them? This is Jim Hightower saying, or here's a loopy idea. Why not improve service so flying becomes a pleasant experience rather than an ordeal?
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stepman's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm buried right there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back, 7:30 past the hour. Okay, you probably know by now that the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace has released a report today that fairly categorically states that all the reasons that the Bush crime family took us to war were lies. Every single issue, every single point, every charge, starting with Bush's State of the Union address, Colin Powell's appearance before the United Nations. Now, there is a group of neocons like Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz and Elliot Abrams and Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld and Douglas Feith who are behind this. These people are not elected. Okay, Cheney was elected. Well, he wasn't even elected. He was part of the theft of the presidency of this country. We have in place in this country a group of people, some visible, some invisible, who are sending Americans to die. Does that matter? Does any of that matter anymore? Who are waging war under false pretenses? Let me quote something for you. Howlin' Wolf, who posted Democratic Underground, sent this to me. This is from the Nuremberg trials, and it was a statement by U.S. Supreme Court Justice Robert Jackson, who represented the United States at the Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunal. He made a bunch of interesting observations there. But on August 12, 1945, he said several things, and I want to share one paragraph with you. Justice Jackson said, "We must make clear to the Germans that the wrong for which their befallen leaders are on trial is not that they lost the war, but that they started it. And we must not allow ourselves to be drawn into a trial of the causes of the war, for our position is that no grievance or policies will justify resort to aggressive war. It is utterly renounced and condemned as an instrument of policy. I therefore want to make clear to the American people that we have taken an important step forward in this instrument in fixing individual responsibility of warmongering among whatever peoples as an international crime. We have taken another in recognizing an international accountability for persecutions, exterminations, and crimes against humanity when associated with attacks on the peace of the international order. Now, this was our position in my lifetime. It was not that long ago. We must make clear to the Germans that the wrong for which their leaders are on trial is not that they lost the war, but that they started it. Does any of this mean anything anymore? Does any of this mean anything? The Carnegie Endowment for International Peace came to some conclusions, and I'll restate them for you. Iraq's WMDs were not an immediate threat. Iraq's nuclear program had been suspended for many years. Iraq focused on preserving a latent dual-use chemical and biological capability, not weapons production. Iraqi nerve agents had lost most of their lethality as early as 1991. Operations Desert Storm and Desert Fox and UN inspections and sanctions effectively destroyed Iraq's large-scale chemical weapon production capabilities. Inspections were working. Post-war searches suggest the UN inspections were on track to find out what was there. International constraints, sanctions, procurements, investigations, the import-export control mechanisms all appear to have been considerably more effective than was thought. Intelligence failed. It was unduly influenced by policymaker views. It was a lie. All of it. No evidence of cooperation between Saddam's government and Al-Qaeda. No evidence that Iraq would have transferred WMDs to terrorists. Much evidence to counter that suggestion. There were at least two options preferable to a war undertaken without international support. First, allowing the UNMOVIC IAEA inspections to continue, or imposing a tougher program of coercive inspections. Now, they come up with some suggestions. The Carnegie Institute, first, revise the national security strategy, that's the Bush doctrine, to eliminate a U.S. policy of unilateral war, i.e., preventive war in absence of imminent threat. Create a nonpartisan independent commission to establish a clearer picture of what the intelligence community knew and believed it knew about Iraq's weapons program. Consider changing the post of the Director of Central Intelligence from a political appointment to a career appointment based on the outcomes of this independent commission. And make the security of poorly protected nuclear weapons and stockpiles of plutonium and highly enriched uranium a much higher priority for national security policy. And it goes on and on. But I don't care where it goes. The only part that concerns me right now are the filthy, murderous, butchering, killing lies that this Bush crime family spewed into international consciousness in defiance of millions of people and every single country on this planet. And committed an atrocity. How many Iraqi citizens are dead? How many were killed in shock and awe? How many were destroyed, blown to a million pieces? How many Americans are dead? How many Americans died today? 9? 10? Blown to pieces because of these psychopaths that run this country right now? How many more are going to die? How much longer is this going to go on? And why do we tolerate it? From Wednesday, February 5th, Colin Powell addressing the UN Security Council.
No, I knew exactly.
No, not that one. Okay, this is on Powell's assertion that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons.
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more. And he has the ability to dispense these lethal poisons and diseases in ways that can cause massive death and destruction. The Iraqis have never accounted for all of the biological weapons they admitted they had, and we know they had. They have never accounted for all the organic material used to make them. And they have not accounted for many of the weapons filled with these agents, such as their R-400 bombs. This is evidence, not conjecture. This is true. This is all well documented.
Unbelievable. Today, Colin Powell, reporter. Mr. Secretary Carnegie, in a report today, says the threat was vastly exaggerated. Iraq posed no immediate danger to the U.S. A lot of probables, a lot of maybes were left out by senior officials in describing what intelligence had uncovered. Looking ahead, but also looking back, would you have rephrased your speech to the U.N. in light of all this if you had another chance?
No, I knew exactly the circumstances under which I was presenting that speech to the U.N. on the 5th of February. The whole world would be watching, and there would be those who would applaud every word, and there were those who would be skeptical of every word. That's why I took the time, I took the time to go out to the agency and sit down with the experts, and anything that we did not feel was solid and multi-sourced, we did not use in that speech. The Carnegie Report, which I had not read, but I'm familiar with it from press accounts this morning, it said that there was that capability within Iraq, and they were doing these kinds of things. And they believe that we perhaps overstated it, but they did not say it wasn't there.
Oh, my God. He's going to lie until he retires, until he resigns in shame. We just played for you what he said. They have not accounted for many of the weapons filled with these agents. There are 400 bombs. This is evidence, not conjecture. This is true. It's well documented. Today, he says, there was that capability within Iraq. February 5th, on the claim that Saddam has ties to Al-Qaeda.
Iraq today harbors a deadly terrorist network headed by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, an associate and collaborator of Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda lieutenants. We are not surprised that Iraq is harboring Zarqawi and his subordinates. This understanding builds on decades-long experience with respect to ties between Iraq and al-Qaeda. Going back to the early and mid-1990s, when bin Laden was based in Sudan, an al-Qaeda source tells us that Saddam and bin Laden reached an understanding that al-Qaeda would no longer support activities against Baghdad.
You liar. You filthy liar. You murderer. You mass murderer. The Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, the results of their investigation, no evidence of cooperation, of a cooperative relationship between Saddam and al-Qaeda. No evidence that Iraq would have transferred weapons of mass destruction to terrorists. Much evidence that suggests just the contrary. No evidence to suggest that deterrence was no longer operable. Colin Powell, you are a liar. You are just like every other single member of the Bush crime family. All of you, you lie. You take us into wars. You take us into death and destruction. You invade countries. You violate law just like Adolf Hitler invaded Poland. You invaded Iraq. Just like Russia invaded country after country in Eastern Europe, you invaded Iraq. Now, who's going to hold you to justice?
welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
24 past the hour. All right, let's go back again to February 5th this year. Colin Powell addressing the UN Security Council. This is prior to the invasion, to the act of aggressive, murderous, illegal war perpetrated against Iraq by the Bush crime family. A move that was condemned for all time by our representative, a Supreme Court justice at the Nuremberg War Trials in 1945. Here's Colin Powell presenting more evidence of a link between Saddam and al-Qaeda, a link that we now know never existed.
Some claim these contacts do not amount to much. They say Saddam Hussein's secular tyranny and Al-Qaeda's religious journey do not mix. I am not comforted by this thought. Ambition and hatred are enough to bring Iraq and Al-Qaeda together, enough so Al-Qaeda could learn how to build more sophisticated bombs and learn how to forge documents, and enough so that Al-Qaeda could turn to Iraq for help in acquiring expertise on weapons of mass destruction. With this track record, Iraqi denials of supporting terrorism take their place alongside the other Iraqi denials of weapons of mass destruction. It is all a web of lies.
Everything that you're saying is a web of lies, Mr. Colin Powell. Now, today, a reporter says, Mr. Secretary, one of the other conclusions of that report from Carnegie was that there was no evidence of a connection between Saddam and Al-Qaeda, and that there was no evidence of a likelihood that he would transfer weapons to Al-Qaeda. What do you think about that, looking back? And I know that, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but to think back, do you think that there were ways other than war to have handled this threat, and that it was not an imminent threat to the United States, Mr. Secretary?
My presentation on the 5th of February, when I talked to this issue, made it clear that we had seen some links and connections to terrorist organizations over time, and I focused on one particular case, Al-Hiri, and I think that was a pretty solid case. There is not, you know, I have not seen smoking gun concrete evidence about the connection. But I think the possibility of such connections did exist, and it was prudent to consider them at the time that we did.
The possibility? But you, Mr. Powell, and the lying bastard R.A. Flasher and Condoleezza Rice all said back then that we couldn't wait for a smoking gun because it might come in the form of a mushroom cloud. Do you remember, you liar? On February 5th, Colin Powell said, with this track record, Iraqi denials of supporting terrorism take the place alongside the other Iraqi denials of weapons of mass destruction. It is all a web of lies. And he sat there and he said that in the UN Security Council as a representative of the United States of America. And he lied. And if he didn't know it, then why is he Secretary of State? Why? February 5th, Colin Powell addressing UN Security Council on his assertion that Saddam is hiding weapons of mass destruction from inspectors. This is the famous Grove of Palm Trees statement.
While we were here in this council chamber debating Resolution 1441 last fall, we know from sources that a missile brigade outside Baghdad was dispersing rocket launchers and warheads containing biological warfare agent to various locations, distributing them to various locations in western Iraq. Most of the launchers and warheads had been hidden in large groves of palm trees and were to be moved every 1 to 4 weeks to escape detection.
My God. My God. The lies. The lies. Who wrote what Colin Powell is saying? Was it Richard Pearl? Was it Paul Wolfowitz? Was it Douglas Feith? Who wrote it? More right after this break.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Hibernation might be the key to healthier organ transplants. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Hibernating ground squirrels can give us insight into more successful liver transplants. University of Wisconsin-Madison veterinary researcher Hannah Carey says hibernating animals keep their internal organs healthy for long periods, even while their body temperatures drop close to freezing. Carey says it's similar to the cold storage human organs are put into while awaiting transplant, but human tissue is often damaged during this refrigeration.
The temperature that people store organs, like livers, in the cold happens to be the same body temperature that animals often hibernate. The species we study can go for up to at least 3 weeks straight in a cold stored condition. So we said, can these animals tell us how to maintain the viability of an organ with long-term cold storage?
Carrie and her research team transplanted the livers of rats, which don't hibernate, and ground squirrels, which do. The transplanted rat livers were in far worse shape than those of the hibernators. For comparison, Carrie transplanted the livers of ground squirrels during non-hibernation season. They fared somewhere in between the hibernators and the rats.
And that tells us that being a species that hibernate probably just confers protection because there's already that ability built into their genes to be able to protect themselves that allow their organs to resist these extreme states.
Carrie wants to identify the molecules that protect the ground squirrel's livers in the cold. She says that could help doctors precondition human organs awaiting transplant, increasing their storage time and improving the likelihood of successful operations. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. While this Carnegie report is floating around out there, what do you suppose is being covered by cable television and the news shows? Trivial nonsense. Whether or not Howard Dean locked some things in his safe a few years ago. Whether or not Howard Dean at one time said he thought George Bush was a good president. The country has been shaken at its foundations. Now, I know I should present this more dispassionately, shouldn't I? I know a lot of people are going, Jesus, why is he screaming at us? It has me probably more upset than anything I can think of. And I guess because I lived through Watergate, I lived through Vietnam, I lived through Reagan. And now this. What is it about us that we are so willing to put up with this crap? The lies, the murder, the deception, the killing, the bombing. Colin Powell at the briefing today. Now, I want you to listen to the last sentence. He continues to talk about the evidence he presented to the UN last February 5th, which the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace says was not just grossly exaggerated, but in polite language said it was all lies. His last comment in this statement is very telling.
Where the debate is why haven't we found huge stockpiles and why haven't we found large caches of these weapons? Let's let the Iraqi survey group complete its work. There has been the movement out of some of the individuals from the group. I presume that their particular job is finished. But I'm confident of what I presented last year. The intelligence community is confident of the material they gave me. I was representing them. It was information they presented to the Congress. It was information they had presented publicly, and they stand behind it. And this game is still unfolding.
This game is still unfolding. Wait a second. Wait a second, you liar. Let the Iraqi survey group complete its work. They're all leaving. They're gone. 400 of them are gone. What did you say? There have been movement out of some of the individuals from the group? 400 is not some, Colin. And you say you're confident of what you presented last year? The intelligence community is confident of the material they gave me? I was representing them? You are representing the United States of America, you liar! Resign, Colin Powell! I was representing them? I was representing them? Last February 5th, Colin Powell sat in front of the UN Security Council and talks about Saddam's lust for nuclear weapons.
There can be no doubt that Saddam...
That's the wrong one. This is Saddam's lust for nuclear weapons.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb. He is so determined that he has made repeated covert attempts to acquire high-specification aluminum tubes from 11 different countries, even after inspections resumed.
Jeez.
People will continue to debate this issue, but there is no doubt in my mind. These illicit procurement efforts show that Saddam Hussein is very much focused on putting in place the key missing piece from his nuclear weapons program, the ability to produce fissile material.
And the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace says categorically that Iraq's nuclear program had been suspended for years. There was nothing, nothing there. Nothing. On February 5th of this year, Colin Powell's concluding remarks as he addressed the UN Security Council.
Today, Iraq still poses a threat, and Iraq still remains in material breach. Indeed, by its failure to seize on its one last opportunity to come clean and disarm,
oh my God,
Iraq has put itself in deeper material breach and closer to the day when it will face serious consequences for its continued defiance of this council. Leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option, not in a post-September 11th world. The United States will not and cannot run that risk to the American people.
Can you believe this? As you're sitting here listening to it, can you believe this is what was said on February 5th, 2003? February 5th, 2003, in front of the United Nations Security Council, the U.S. Secretary of State is saying this. Indeed, by its failure to seize on its one last opportunity to come clean and disarm. And today the report is released. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing there. At the State Department briefing today, Colin Powell continuing on the second part of the question, the Carnegie Report's finding that the war was not the only and not the best way to solve the problem, Colin Powell said this.
Were there other ways to solve this problem? I think the president gave the international community every opportunity to solve this problem another way.
What?
The international community gave the Iraqis 12 years to solve this problem any other way.
What?
And after waiting a sufficient period of time, the president decided he had to act because he believed that whatever the size of the stockpile, whatever one might think about it, he believed that the region was in danger America was in danger, and he would act, and he did act.
I may believe that my next-door neighbor is a psychopathic axe murderer. Does that mean I pick up a gun and shoot him? He believed. No, he didn't, Cullen. George Bush is too stupid and asinine to believe anything. Richard Pearl, Douglas Feith, Elliot Abrams, you, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, you are the ones who did this. You committed murder. You violated the United States Constitution. You betrayed your oath of office. You are despicable and disgusting. All of you, every single one of you. And there you stand, even today, you cancer-ridden thug. There you stand, even today, and continue your claims, your lies, and Americans continue to die, and Iraqis continue to die, and George W. Bush continues to have 58% approval ratings. It's an outrage. It's an outrage. It's just an outrage. Justice Robert Jackson, United States Supreme Court Justice, August 12, 1945, Nuremberg, Germany. We must make clear to the Germans that the wrong for which their leaders are on trial is not that they lost the war, but that they started it. And we must not allow ourselves to be drawn into a trial of the causes of the war, for our position is that no grievance will justify resort to aggressive war. It is utterly renounced and condemned as an instrument of policy. I therefore want to make clear to the American people that we have taken an important step forward in this instrument in fixing individual responsibility of warmongering as an international crime. We have taken another in recognizing an international accountability when associated with attacks on the peace of the international order. Now, who, truth seeker, who is going to hold the Bush administration responsible? Who? Who? Are you, is Howard Dean, Dennis Kucinich, me? Who? Who? The International Tribunal in The Hague? Who is going to hold this criminal regime in this country responsible? We are the ones who laid down the rules in 1945. We are the ones who stood there and said, this will not happen. Your leaders are on trial not because they lost the war, but because they started it. Now what do we do? All right. 800-TALK-YES is a number. I'm burned out here. This has not been a good day for me because of the release of this report. You and I knew it. We've been talking about it for 2 years, the lies and the deception. You know what is really crushing? What is really crushing, and you know this in your heart as well as I do, and this almost brings me down. This almost makes me want to just throw the key over the transom of the studio, walk out of here, never come back, leave this country, get the hell out of here, and try to retain my sanity. And that is, what are we going to do the day we find out that the attack on this country on September 11th, 2001 was engineered by these bastards? And I mean the people who run this country. What are we going to do when we find that to be the case? What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Every single thing about Iraq. How about Afghanistan? How much of Afghanistan was a lie? That's the part that scares me, because I do not have the resiliency any longer. You know, like I said, I came through the assassination of Jack Kennedy, the assassination of Martin Luther King, the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. I came through Watergate. I came through the bombing of Cambodia. I came through Kent State. I came through the resignation of Milhouse Nixon. I came through the Tonkin Gulf Resolution. All of this stuff, for 40 years, it hasn't stopped. Lie upon lie upon lie. Reagan and Lebanon. Reagan in Central America. And death and destruction and murder and overthrown governments. On and on and on. And here we are again, for Christ's sake, a new century. And here we are again, always, continually. Who, let me ask you, who is the perpetrator? Who is the perpetrator? Who's the thug? Who's the criminal? What government is out of control? Which one is committing murder and mayhem on this planet? Which one? You tell me. You tell me. I don't have the resiliency. I don't have it anymore. Do you? Can you go on with this? What are we supposed to tell our children? Do we tell our children anything? Not just our children, but our grown children. I've got kids in their 30s, and I've got another one on the way. What the hell do I tell? What do I tell my grandchildren? What do you tell your grandchildren? That we're liars? That our government is out of control? That we are mass murderers? What do we say? No, 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 don't pay any attention to that. Just eat your apple pie and salute the flag and kiss mommy. What are we supposed to do? We're at 800-825-5937 if you have a comment. Freddie is calling from Woodstock, New York. Freddie, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Not very good tonight, pal.
Yeah, well, I think you're doing great because, like, you know, you got to continue the shouting. You're doing everything perfectly because it is an outrage and nobody's shouting, at least nobody on the radio besides you. And everybody should be shouting. We should be out in front of the White House shouting at these guys.
This is astonishing. This report that came out today by the Carnegie Institute, how long did it take us to realize that the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution was a lie? What did it take, 25 years? Here we have this now. We still have troops over there. We still have killing and death going on. What are we going to do about it?
Well, you know, the big problem, of course, is the press. This morning I was watching.
Oh, my God, yes.
CNN this morning spent a minute on this report. 2.5 to 3 minutes on Michael Jackson, another 2 minutes on Kobe Bryant, and there was Peterson again.
Yeah.
And I'm going, Michael Jackson, these guys lied us into a war, and what's more important is Michael Jackson's lawyer is going to get gagged. Yeah. We care. It matters. What is going on?
It's unbelievable.
The problem is, and in watching media, I'm a media person myself, but in watching media, the information is not only not getting through, but the total opposite message is coming. They've got George Bush won the election already.
Yeah.
He's already won.
Sure.
He's already won. Well, as Dean as well, he'll get, you know, it'll be 43% to 57, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's already fait accompli the way the press is covering it.
Yeah.
And we're not going to change it. We know who runs the press. So my question, and it's partially rhetorical, but I'd love to hear an answer from, if you have an answer or if some of the listeners have an answer, how do we get the word out to the people who are just not getting this information? I believe that if you watch Fox News, you've never heard of the Carnegie Report.
I think you're right. You're
probably right. If you watch ABC, you might have seen it for a second, but I'm sure it was maybe a brief mention.
Sure.
So people are not getting into the information. That, to me, is the most scary thing. When information is manipulated, as you're talking about all night, when information is not available to the public, we're not the general public. We're these crazy guys listening to satellite radio, you know,
right.
And alternative internet radio. We're not the general public. They're not getting the information. They don't even have the basic information to get angry at.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I don't know. I don't know, Freddie. Let's see if somebody has an answer. Thanks for checking in, pal. All right. I appreciate your call.
And most of them, civilians. Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. The king of death row, Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil money, Enron, the American Empire!
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio, to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise 2-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio 2-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
The Mike Molloy Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, as my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council. The world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Just incredible. Just incredible. Somebody sent me an email here. It says the few times this may have been mentioned on television today, this Carnegie Endowment report, the Carnegie Institute is referred to as a left-wing organization. How much of this are really? What is your capacity? I have really, really just about topped out. You know, I really have. I take it way too seriously, I guess. Do you? Do you take it way too seriously too? How do you handle this? Do you just block it? I guess that's what I do most of the time, is refuse to believe that what is going on is going on. What do you call that, Kathy? Avoidance? Is that the term? Kathy, amnesia? No, conscious avoidance. You know, and I don't know what there seems to be a real contradiction with me. Just like I'm sure there is with you, you know, Kathy and I are bringing a new child into this life, and to me, having a child is a declaration of faith in the future. What else is it if it's not that? And yet we sit here night after night, you and me, and Kathy, and we go over this stuff on and on and on, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. And report after report and truth after truth is revealed about what's going on, and the situation gets more tense and more destructive and more on the edge. And yet you demonstrate your faith. I demonstrate mine. Kathy demonstrates hers. We all demonstrate faith in what? What the hell are we having faith in? It's something, right? What, the faith maybe that Howard Dean or Dennis Kucinich is going to prevail and throw these bastards out of office? What's the faith? That somehow the Democratic Party is going to find its guts again and reassert control over the House and the Senate? And I'm not talking about the corporate Democrats. I'm not talking about the DLC. Or doesn't any of that matter? Is that just trivial crap? Is it not even what we're supposed to be focusing on? Are we supposed to be focusing on the real problems? But I don't know. I can't think of anything that doesn't come back to this corrupt criminal administration that runs the most powerful engine of creation and destruction in the history of this planet. And I see whose hands it's in. And I tremble. I fear. I freak. I go crazy. Oh, Jesus, take a Valium, Mike. Take a Valium and chill out. All right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to take your phone calls, and I'm going to try not to say anything for the rest of tonight except listen to you. Stick around. Your call's coming up.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
George W. Bush's immigration proposal got a mostly cool response from those who grapple with the issue, with conservatives saying it goes too far, immigrant rights groups saying it doesn't go far enough, and some Hispanic groups calling it a hollow electioneering ploy. Lucas Benitez from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which represents thousands of immigrants who work mostly in agriculture and in service sectors in Florida, questioned Bush's motives, calling it a political ploy to get Hispanic votes. And David Ray, spokesman for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which advocates limits on immigration, argued that Bush's policies undermine American workers' wages and encourage illegal immigration. A U.S. Black Hawk medevac helicopter crashed Thursday near Fallujah in Iraq, killing all 9 soldiers aboard, the U.S. military said. A witness said the helicopter, which bore red crosses, was hit in the tail by a rocket. At Baghdad International Airport, meanwhile, an Air Force C-5 transport plane with 63 passengers and crew aboard made an emergency landing, and a senior official at the Pentagon said the plane was hit by hostile fire. Former Colorado Senator Gary Hart is seriously considering a challenge to Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell, according to party sources in the state. The 2-term senator and 2-time presidential candidate recently discussed a possible bid with national and state party leaders who are urging him to jump in, said Democratic sources in Washington and Colorado, who requested anonymity. Iraq posed no imminent threat to the United States, and there was no solid evidence that President Saddam Hussein was cooperating with the Al-Qaeda terror network, a private think tank maintained Thursday. The administration systematically misrepresented a weapons threat from Iraq, and U.S. strategy should be revised to eliminate the policy of unilateral preventive war, said Jessica T. Matthews, Joseph Sirinicone, and George Perkovich of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. More IE American Network news after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Thieves with an apparent hankering for hog and red meat stole as much as 1.5 tons from a packing plant over the weekend, according to Pennsylvania State Police. The pork and other meat was pilfered Saturday night or Sunday morning at the Alfrey's Sausage Company in East Huntingdon Township, about 20 miles southeast of Pittsburgh, when thieves pried open a door and ransacked the building. Those responsible also broke into a U.S. Department of Agriculture office, but apparently found nothing to their liking, police said. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have exciting news for those of you who worry that American industry is losing its creative edge. America West Airlines has just implemented a stunning innovation that is certain to revive this sagging industry and assure profits, new jobs, and happy skies as far as the horizon extends. The innovation? Ads on tray tables. Yes, just when you thought that surely there was not another space left anywhere in our country for corporations to put more ads, along comes America West to slap you right in the face with an ad every time you flip down your tray table on one of its flights. The airline is selling ads to cover every tray top on each of its planes, and it already has Visa, Mercedes-Benz, and Bank of America on board for this flighty idea. Advertisers pay $3,300 per plane to hawk their stuff via tray tables to what they call a captive audience. Indeed, an audience literally strapped to its seats. Tray tables are said to be the brainstorm of marketeer Nick Pagic. Seems more like a slight breeze than a brainstorm to me, but this is what passes for innovation in corporate America today. Paget gushes that ads on Trey Tops will, quote, be one of the most powerful and influential media. Oh, sure, I'm going to rush off the plane and buy a Mercedes because of an ad on my tray table. No wonder our economy is in trouble. If you think you can escape by flying on some other carrier, America West marketing honcho warns that it seems to be a no-brainer for other airlines to follow suit once we've blazed the trail. It's enough to make you reach for the barf bag. They admit the tray table ads are just a start as airlines seek other ways to jack up their revenues. Yeah, why not run a constant stream of ads over the PA system, or start charging for pillows, or assessing a fee for those who want to have an oxygen mask available to them? This is Jim Hightower saying, or here's a loopy idea. Why not improve service so flying becomes a pleasant experience rather than an ordeal?
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God, help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Seven past the hour. 800 Talk Yes is the number. What we're talking about this hour, what I want you to talk about, is the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. They released their study today that fairly clearly states categorically that everything that we were told about Iraq was a lie. That is not a newsflash to you, nor is it to me. But that's what we're talking about. Okay. Bernard is calling from Stickney, Illinois. Hey, Bernard.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, I'm a longtime listener. I listened to you when you broadcast at WLS in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
I was very sad to find that you didn't broadcast from there anymore.
Right. Yeah, that was that's just what happens in radio. You know, you come, you go.
Mm-hmm. No, WLS is all right wing now. They got Sean
sure.
Hannity now instead of you, and
sure.
I listen to you now on the Internet.
Well, thank you for that.
But anyway, I'm not prepared. I didn't have my thoughts in line to speak on the Carnegie thing, but I do have some thoughts I'd like to share with you.
Oh, sure, go ahead. I don't mean to restrict the topic of conversation at all. That's just what we're talking about the last hour, and I'm sure a lot of folks want to talk about it. But if you want to bring something else, bring it.
Well, yeah, I just want to touch on something you said. You said that when we find out that our government actually engineered the attacks on the Twin Towers, I thought that from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a way for the Bush administration to enrage the American public and then to get them to agree to military action anywhere on the globe. It's just part of a big, giant plan.
Yeah, and
to take over the world.
And if not enrage the American public, make us all scared of our own shadows. And let me be clear on this. I'm not saying yet, it may come to this, that the Bush crime family actually had some control over piloting those planes. What I am saying is they are complicit in that attack because they knew it was going to happen. And in my opinion, orders were issued to allow it to happen.
They were ordered to stand down.
Down.
If you recall, there was a Gulfstream jet that was flying somewhere over the United States that had a famous golf player on board.
Yeah.
And the pilot had a heart attack.
Right.
And the thing was flying on autopilot over the American Midwest. The military scrambled fighters within
sure.
5 minutes.
Sure, because it was off its flight path. Can you imagine? We have four jetliners hijacked
with their transponders off for over half an hour.
Oh, it just goes on and on.
And no jets responded.
Right, nothing. Nothing.
You know, that's and I'm just waiting for the next terrorist attack that'll be engineered because that'll be the excuse that Bush will have where he can call off the election and declare martial law.
Well, a lot
that's
of,
what I'm waiting for to happen. That's what I think is going to happen next.
A lot of people share your concerns about that. I have been through too much to believe that what happened on September 11, 2001 was not done with the total, absolute complicity of this gang of murderous thugs that now run this country. So, time will tell. I think time will tell. Maybe not. You know, there's a lot of people in this country who still believe that Lee Harvey Oswald and Lee Harvey Oswald alone brought down this government by assassinating John Kennedy. So
they let Pearl Harbor happen to enrage the American public. They sold us Oswald as an excuse. It's all the same scam. It's all the same.
Pretty weird. Well, Bernard, I'm glad you finally found the program.
Just one more thing about this thing about how he's letting the Hispanics come in here and take our jobs. I've seen whole neighborhoods get taken over by them. Every street sign, every business sign is written in Spanish. And I'm seeing more and more ads that require me to speak Spanish to be able to get a job in America.
Well, that could be a problem. Although I think all of us should speak more than just English, don't you?
Well, I speak fluent German as well as English.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Bernard.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure. Appreciate your comments. Okay, let me just add my two cents worth to what Bernard said. I have no problem whatsoever. This is a nation of immigrants. You know, we came in and stole this country. Let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest. Let's stop the crap. We came in and stole this country. We committed massive genocide. We did the same thing to Native Americans in a different way that the Germans did to the Jews. And then we compounded our crime by stealing people from another continent and bringing them here and forcing them into slavery. We've got an awful, awful, awful lot to account for. Once you get past the genocide and the slavery, which you can't, but let's pretend. Once we pretend to get past those two keystones of the history of this country, then you get into we're a nation of immigrants. A lot of people come to this country freely. I said last night, I think every country's got to have rules regarding immigrant populations, who comes, how you come. I just do. Every other country does, and I think it makes sense. The problem is, like we talked about last night, whites, for the most part, in the northern hemisphere of this planet, have wreaked such destruction and havoc and death on non-whites, in generally speaking, the southern half of the planet. The main reason people come here is for the work, the jobs, the chance. You understand. I don't want to run it down again. So I don't have any problem with immigration at all. If I did, I probably would not be here. My grandfather came from Udena, Italy, went to Chicago when he was 15, spoke no English, was taken in by the Italian community there until he learned enough English to function, worked as a junk picker-upper on the streets of Chicago, up and down Michigan Avenue and State Street, and wherever the hell he went with a pushcart. Yes, a pushcart. Yes, my grandfather. And as a kid growing up, I can remember he barely spoke English. He spoke enough of it, though, to read the Wall Street Journal and understand what the stock market was. And like a lot of immigrants, he did a pretty good job. But he didn't live in a neighborhood that had Italian signs all over the place. You know, once he left Chicago, he lived in a small town in northwestern Ohio where he was the outsider. And he lived in that small town when there were nothing but white people, no African Americans, very few immigrants, if any. If they were, they were Eastern European. But here's Angelo D'Antico, my grandfather, and at a time when the Italians were responsible for all kinds of murderous mayhem, Sacco and Vanzetti, Italian fascism, Italian anarchism. And there's my grandfather and his wife raising five kids. So we have, we've got that history in my family. We understand. Well, my mother was in seventh grade. Somebody came up to her and said, "Hey, why does your dad carry a knife?" My grandfather didn't carry a knife. And if you look at my mother's eighth grade graduation picture and you see all these white people, and there's my mother. And Kathy, you've seen the picture. She looks like She looks dark, doesn't she, huh? She looks like one of those brown skin beauties from Ghana or...
Your mother was gorgeous.
Sicily or...
Gorgeous woman.
Yeah, she is. She was, you know, like a lot of dark skin people. But the point I'm trying to make, you know, when Bernard talks about, you know, Mexicans, I understand Bernard, but, you know... If you can handle the genocide and the slavery that whites perpetrated on this continent, you got to come up with, you know, we're a nation of immigrants. The only people who really lived here, right, were so-called Native Americans and Mexicans. The whole Western United States used to be theirs, the Mexicans, the people now who want to come up here and make a living, right? Okay, I just had to comment on that. That's all. No big deal. Thanks, Bernard. Jeremy is calling from State College, PA. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
How you doing? You know, it's funny. Like, the longer I'm on hold for your program, the more stuff comes into my brain to talk about.
Right, I know that.
I had a two-word comment set up, but 15 minutes later, I have like 20 minutes worth of stuff. But
I know.
I guess I'll go with the immigration thing since that's what we're on right now. The one thing that I find interesting is how... When everybody talks about the immigration issue, it's always the immigrant's fault for wanting to come here to work.
Yeah, right.
What's not talked about is, well, why isn't it the corporation's fault or responsibility to tighten the restrictions for hiring people?
And why isn't it the responsibility of global capitalism to try, just once in the history of that economic system, to guarantee through its structure decent wages in a man or a woman's home country? Why is it so hard to set up decent wages in the Mariana Islands or in Guam or in Ecuador or in wherever the hell China or Mexico, wherever the hell these U.S. corporations go and rip and gouge and punish and fracture families with this poisonous predatory capitalism? Why doesn't it happen that way? Now, who owns the corporations? A lot of white Europeans, white Americans, white Canadians, and Chinese Asians and Japanese Asians. Can't these people realize that? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, and that just It just runs the gamut. I mean, they have no qualms about sending the jobs overseas, yet when people want to come in, it's almost hypocritical then. They're like, you know, they should want immigrants to come in. It's cheaper labor for them because they're non-union.
Right.
They can just do whatever. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. And the second thing is your other caller before who was talking about media, you know, how we can get people to wake up and see things. There's only – I have a media studies degree here from Penn State, and I'm going for graduate work in media studies. And there's only two ways I can see us ever getting the media back to a point where we have serious, honest, open debate for people to actually look at without having to go find it,
and
whether
how
it's through your program or the Internet or knowing where to look. Like me, I read The Nation and The Progressive and stuff. But
how do we do that?
The only two ways I can see is, A, get more guys like Michael Copps on the FCC who actually understand what the FCC is supposed to be, and not Michael Powell, who doesn't understand what the FCC is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's that shift of you're not working for the best interest of the American people anymore. You're working for the best interest of corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole shift in our entire spectrum of thinking over, you know, even longer than I've been alive, has totally eroded the true meaning of what this country is supposed to be.
Right.
And that's the other part, too. We have to teach people what the media – it's a public resource that we own. These corporations don't own it. And until we can teach people what it is supposed to mean and what it actually is, you know, through, like, media criticism classes in high school or whatnot, I mean, I wasn't even – remotely interested in this topic until I took a course here at Penn State that studied the political economy of the mass media, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I never knew this stuff, and now that it's opened me up and it's taught me, you know, the way things have happened, you know, from Reagan just running roughshod over the fairness doctrine, which needs to be reinstated, to even have someone like you have a chance to stay on the air, that you're barely scraping by, while even then to go one step further, the Telecom Act of 96.
Let me put you on hold a second, Jeremy. We'll come back to you, and you can finish up, because we got to take a quick break here.
So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world every night.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Apply the immigration laws. We're saying welcome to America. Why don't you share information with us?
24 past the hour, we are talking here with Jeremy from State College, PA. Jeremy, go ahead, wrap it up for me.
Okay, I was just talking about how the Telecom Act of 96 came along and
right.
made sure Clear Channel was well in, you know, embedded and you know, do you think you'll be going to Clear Channel after you get shut off, i.e.?
Oh, no. Me?
That was a very sarcastic joke.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right. No. Clear Channel, the old J-Corps, no. They're interested in propagandizing for George Bush, period. You know, it's owned by Bush pioneers.
Sure. Not only does it just, you know, regurgitate the same five songs on all the six or seven channels they own in the market, but they just run a rampant right-wing ideology.
Oh, it's incredible.
And yet, I'll just say this real quick, one last thing before I go. The common perception of most people, though, is that the media has a liberal bias.
Well, that's the big lie that's been put out there. It's a massive distortion of the truth. It goes beyond lie. Lie is when I don't know. Lie is when your girlfriend says, "Where were you this afternoon?" You say, "Oh, well, I was buying a pair of shoes," and you're really out golfing. That's a lie. What Clear Channel puts out there is such a massive distortion of the truth as to render the truth something that exists just in theory in the 12th dimension. It's incredible what has happened in media here. That a liberal, you know, there's such a thing as a liberal media. It does not exist.
Right. So just, you know, again, just in closing, just people out there who want to do something about it, write the FCC and don't write and be all active like people were a few months ago when they were trying to, you know, ram those laws home and then give up because they ended up being able to sneak a lot of that through anyway because it just died off the radar. Like, okay, we can take care of it now. People aren't looking anymore.
Yeah,
and that's
the
big problem. Just stay diligent, I guess. But,
well, good luck with your studies, media studies. It sounds good. I'll be watching you over the next 20 years. I'm sure you're going to do something that will bring this whole house of cards crashing down and put it back to its original pristine and pure state, right?
Well, I sure would hope so. And when you will resurface when you do, I promise I'll be calling again.
Thanks, Jeremy.
No problem.
All right, sir. Take care. Yeah, we're like corks, Kathy and I, in a vat of vodka. You know, you can't, you know, push us down. We're going to bounce right back up. Trust me. Trucker Kim is calling. One of our over-the-road dudes calling from near San Antonio. Hey, Kim.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
It's going fine, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. Listen, a couple things I want to talk about. I was going through I keep papers, from the newspapers.
Uh-huh.
And sometime way back in 2002.
Right.
They had this article where they pointed out that the NSA had admitted that on the 10th of September they had actually intercepted a lot of captured Al Qaeda members communicating with allies in Saudi Arabia.
Sure.
They weren't communicating with Iraq.
Yeah.
Or even Afghanistan.
Right.
But they were communicating with Saudi Arabia. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I either missed that, but I'm sure it's true. I'm absolutely sure it's true.
Yeah. One other thing. I was also. Did you see on September? Let's see, January 2nd. There was an article in USA Today, A5 page, about good old brother Neil.
Oh yeah.
He cashed in on three stock trades, including $171,370. From a one-day trade, buying shares and selling them in Copen Corporation of Taunton, Massachusetts.
Huh.
A company where he was a consultant. I wonder if they're going to pursue that as vigorously as they have Martha Stewart with her $42,000.
Well, you know the answer to that, Kim.
Oh, I know. They're going to come down like a sledgehammer.
This is Neil Bush. This is part of the Bush crime family. This
of
is.
Of course. And we are going to we're going to show no partisanship.
Right. Absolutely. The only time that no partisanship will occur is if we ever put these bastards on trial. And then maybe there'll be no partisanship.
Let me
huh?
ask you a question. You know, regarding that, I was just wondering, is it possible to actually, after he leaves office, to then try him as commander-in-chief for crimes against the nation?
That I don't know. I would think that there are no statutes of limitations on certain felonies. I would assume mass murder is one of them. So we'll see what happens. Kim, thanks for checking in, buddy.
Hey, man. Talk to you later.
All right, sir. Take care.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Hibernation might be the key to healthier organ transplants. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Hibernating ground squirrels can give us insight into more successful liver transplants. University of Wisconsin-Madison veterinary researcher Hannah Carey says hibernating animals keep their internal organs healthy for long periods, even while their body temperatures drop close to freezing. Carey says it's similar to the cold storage human organs are put into while awaiting transplant, but human tissue is often damaged during this refrigeration.
The temperature that people store organs like livers in the cold happens to be the same body temperature that animals often hibernate. The species we study can go for up to at least 3 weeks straight in a cold stored condition. So we said, can these animals tell us how to maintain the viability of an organ with long-term cold storage?
Carey and her research team transplanted the livers of rats, which don't hibernate, and ground squirrels, which do. The transplanted rat livers were in far worse shape than those of the hibernators. For comparison, Carey transplanted the livers of ground squirrels during non-hibernation season. They fared somewhere in between the hibernators and the rats.
And that tells us that being a species that hibernate probably just confers protection because there's already that ability built into their genes to be able to protect themselves that allow their organs to resist these extreme states.
Carey wants to identify the molecules that protect the ground squirrel's livers in the cold. She says that could help doctors precondition human organs awaiting transplant, increasing their storage time and improving the likelihood of successful operations. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
There's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. A lot of folks were sending emails tonight, and I know I'm not getting to them. I usually try to respond to all the emails that get through. We do block a lot of garbage, but for all the ones that are coming through, I'm sorry, we're just not getting to them tonight. I'm not responding the way I usually do. But I do appreciate the fact that you're writing, Andrea, and who else here? Scott in Michigan, and who else? Sean in St. Pete, and Ed in Byron, Illinois, and Donald in Augusta, and Eric, and David, and Timothy, and Rick, and Annabelle, and okay. I do appreciate the fact that all you folks are emailing in, and usually I try to answer. But, I just got too crazy tonight, that's all. Just got way too crazy. But I am reading what you're sending in. Thank you. John is calling from Philly. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. Let me get on the right phone here.
All right.
Right button.
There you go.
Yeah, I was reacting or responding to what you said earlier about how do you handle this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, then you went and said something like you and Kathy are like corks in a vat of vodka. And all I could think of was, ah, death. Where is thy sting?
There you go. I don't know why I said vodka. You know, Kathy doesn't drink because she's pregnant, and I drink Jack Black because I'm not pregnant.
That was my old drug of choice before I got religion.
Right, right. That will happen to you.
Bad liver, whichever came first. I forget which.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of judicious. I don't drink as much as I make it sound like, but I just like Jack Daniels. That's my booze.
I have the same problem. I started my own media. I started writing to people about over a year ago, last October, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
I just started writing to people on my business list, and now I'm writing to about 9,000 people a day.
Mm.
You know, I go under the name of Evildoer. I'm known halfway over, all over the
Evildoer.
The left. Yeah, I'm all over the left wing.
Are you having an impact?
Yeah, I think so initially. Now, you know,
Put me on your mailing list.
I send you stuff every now and then.
From Evildoer?
Yes, and it comes through as John, and I use my last name, and it'll say Evildoer on
there. Oh, okay. I've got some stuff.
Photo essays. I haven't put you on all of them. I'll put you on all of them now.
Yeah, send it to MikeDMalloy@AOL.com. That's my broadband computer. That's the one where I've got broadband service, and things just happen a lot quicker, and that's a computer I use during the day.
So I'm starting to catch a lot of hell now because... Well, initially I caught hell because I wrote about Bush.
Yeah.
And I was writing to a lot of people, not just the internet list. I was writing to people that I know.
Right.
Some of whom happened to be Republican, you know.
Right.
And some of whom happened to be just, you know, not aware that there was anything other than what the media told them.
Sure.
But as that message has gotten through to a lot of people, at least the people I know, now I'm getting into more trouble by saying things like, wait a minute, you remember this guy Dean who said, What a terrible mistake. This was the greatest mistake in our history.
Mm-hmm.
And now this same fella, Dean, is saying we're stuck
mm-hmm.
and we've got to continue to pursue the same policies. And I begin to, you know, putting together what you already have indicated that mm-hmm. about the media, the same kind of thing is happening to many people on the left. I think we were all very, very, very impressed by anybody who had any criticism of Bush
right.
and the war.
Right.
And Howard Dean was one of those guys. And we say, that's tremendous. That's great. There's somebody speaking out. But this guy, this guy is now running. He seems to be challenging Bush for the position of village idiot. Or let's use the word, you know, prevaricator. If you just look at the headlines and see... You know, what you see today, British forces staying in there, the Iraqi police chief gunning down families, the coalition forces establishing police forces under the CIA, women now alone because their husbands and sons are being arrested till they squeal on their fathers. And
But you don't hold Howard Dean responsible for that.
I hold him responsible to the point where he says, we must stay there for another 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and because that is nothing more than an extenuation of the war. If you try to maintain, when the Iraqi people, let's say, God forbid, Dean becomes president, an occupation under Dean is no different than an occupation under George Bush. Any troops that are there under U.S. command are going to meet mm-hmm. with the same resistance that they're meeting now. There are 900,000 Iraqi civilians who were once armed mm-hmm. Iraqi soldiers. And those guys are just becoming more and more cruel. I mean, we're shooting them now in unarmed protests.
Well, you know, I wonder why a lot of people listen to this program who like this program and thank God they're out there also support Dean. And you, the issue that you raise is one that I have kind of danced around because I support Kucinich. I don't believe necessarily in attacking. I don't believe what Lieberman and Kerry and Gephardt are doing about Howard Dean.
Of course not, because they're attacking him for a whole bunch of very spurious
just,
reasons.
Just bat crap. But I wonder how. And I guess I'm putting this out there right now, right this minute, to Dean supporters. How do Dean supporters handle Howard Dean's apparent position where it concerns the continuation of troops in Iraq.
Can I answer that question for you?
Well, but you're not a Dean supporter.
No, but I can answer the question.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Because I've got a couple of degrees under my belt, and one of the things I studied was psychology.
Okay.
It's a magic word.
All right.
It's called denial.
Denial, all right.
When you invest yourself, like a lot of these folks, I have stood shoulder to shoulder
right.
in many demonstrations with guys wearing Dean buttons.
Right.
Even in Washington, D.C., where we listened to Al Sharpton say, we got to get out of there.
Sure.
And we got to get out of there now.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood shoulder to shoulder and screamed with the guys next to me and surrounding me with my Kasunish button,
mm-hmm.
and they with their Dean button, agreeing.
Mm-hmm.
The war was terrible. I figured at that time, well, I don't agree with a whole lot of things that Dean has to say, but at least he's going to be my second choice. If he wants to end this thing, if he wants to get out of there now, at least I got a second choice.
Right.
He's no second choice. He is no second choice. Pat Buchanan is against the war.
Right,
that's psychotic. There's no reason. You cannot possibly consider Howard Dean an anti-war candidate, a peace candidate, if he wants to keep us in there. And if he wants to do everything else, business as usual, keep our health care captive to for-profit corporations.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to maintain NAFTA in one form or another and the WTO. He is totally clueless about how to deal with the concept of globalization, which says to me he's totally clueless as to how to use the bully pulpit, because anybody, any American president could stop globalization, at least in terms of what we mean by the economic, the corporatization. Let me use that
right.
word.
Yeah.
The corporatization of the world as opposed to globalization. He could stop it. Any president can. Kucinich knows that mm. can be done, and Kucinich is willing to say it. The same guys who are supporting Dean and decrying the way that the media treats everybody is willing to nevertheless sit back and watch Howard Dean get plastered all over the place, you know, on the television, and be now set up as the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have the sense, I'll say this nicely, don't seem to realize that the media is most likely setting him up as a straw dog, I think, because it's going to be very easy for Howard Dean to fall to the blade of the Archduke of Lies.
Well, there is that possibility, and I do appreciate your take on it, John. I'll tell you what I'd like to do right now, and that is I'd like to hear from a Dean supporter around that particular issue. If one would call in, we have an open line, and let's see what kind of response you get to that. All right, John?
Cool, Michael. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you checking. I appreciate your point of view, too. Again, we have a lot of Dean supporters, and I know what John's talking about, and if you're a Dean supporter, you should know, too. And if it is denial, if you are willing to overlook this horrendous, murderous involvement that we have in Iraq in order to get Bush out of office, I don't know. If you can handle that, okay. If there are Dean supporters who feel, look, I'm going to back this guy because I know that he may be saying this in order to just like Bush said he was a compassionate conservative. Maybe Dean is saying this to appeal to the widest spectrum of voters. That's it's politics. I don't know. If you want to give a call, if you're a Dean supporter, how do you justify what John was talking about, the fact that Dean supports continuing troops in Iraq? I'd just like to hear. I'm not going to challenge you on that. If Dean is your man, then back him. Roy is calling from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Hey, Roy.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you. And congratulations.
Oh, thank you. About losing my job or having a pregnant wife?
Having a pregnant wife.
Okay. I'm just kidding. I know. Thank you.
One of the things that I went when you were talking about the report, the Carney report this afternoon, I went up and jumped on WorldNet Daily, you know, the right-wing fanatics.
Right.
Not one mention on their side about the International Monetary Fund. Are you familiar with that report?
Oh, yeah, declaring that the United States is going to pull down the Bush policies are going to pull down the entire global community. Yeah.
I just ran a Google search while I was waiting.
Mm-hmm.
35 hits came up for that specific headline type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not one, unless you call the Washington Times a major United States
it is not.
Newspaper.
No, it is not.
I don't figure it is either. It's a propaganda rag. But that is the only major United States newspaper that's mm-hmm. referenced in a Google search.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this stuff just drives me crazy. I went and saw the Move On CD a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't one lie in that CD or DVD that I didn't know about. The thing that irritated me was how many I had forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just, you can only remember so much. And it just, they keep hammering you and hammering you and hammering you.
Right, right.
I did find one of the payoffs for this war today. I was down in this little town, and I, you know, there's Hummer limousines now.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing had six extra windows in the thing.
Oh, it's insane. Those kind of people that own those, I want to roll a hand grenade under their vehicle, and they just hit the ground and watch. And that's terrible. That's terrible of me to even think that. But that's the point I've gotten to.
And the whole thing, and I'd like to address the deal with Dean. Dean is not my first choice, but I think he's my first viable choice. You know, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go. I want to watch the polls come in on Kucinich. If it looks like, I got a couple that if they look like they're going to take the New Mexico caucus, well, then I'll go ahead and vote for Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
But with Dean's approach, I don't want to stay in Iraq. However, if Dean feels like we got to be there, I would much rather have him at the helm with us over there than this bozo and his bunch. And perhaps there could get some kind of humanitarian-type folks involved with what we're doing over there. So we're not killing these people. You know, we're going to win their hearts by, you know, killing a couple parents and making five orphans.
Well, I don't think ever in the history of humankind has an occupying army become a benign force in the country that it's occupying. I understand. I appreciate what you're saying. If somehow we could do that, but if you look at history, I don't think that's ever happened. First of all, soldiers are not humanitarians.
They're not paid to be.
They're not trained to be. They're trained to kill and break things up and then leave. And the idea being, whoever kills and breaks the most things, that usually is the winner in a conflict. They're not trained to be humanitarians. That's A. B, the animosity, or let me rephrase it, the hatred that is felt by an occupied population, Palestinians and Israelis, Iraqis and the United States, Tibetans and Chinese. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The hatred that is felt, there is nothing that an occupying force can do to eliminate that hatred except one thing: get the hell out. It's not your place. It's not your village. It's not your society. It's not your culture. It's not your country. You got to leave. So while I hear what you're saying, and maybe a lot of Dean people feel that like you do, that he would be a better person at the helm for an occupying army than Bush, I can't go along with that, Roy.
I think we could perhaps get you there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For another 15 seconds, and then we got a break.
I think he could get some more folks in there and take the spotlight off of us, because it something's got to be better.
Okay. Well, that's a possibility too. That should have been a United Nations operation, but then so should the occupied territories in Israel be a United Nations operation, and it's not. And so should several situations in the Far East be United Nations operations, and they are not. As long as the United Nations is set up the way it is, with the five superpowers having veto power, this group in that one's pocket and that group in this one's pocket, these kinds of solutions with the UN, I'm afraid, are not going to happen. Roy, thanks for checking in, Bill.
One.
All right, sir, I appreciate your call. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Hi, Steve. I'm Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off.
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or a fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 5 before the hour. We're getting some responses from folks about the Dean Iraq thing, and we're not going to have time to get to them tonight, but I'll read what y'all have sent tomorrow. Lawrence is calling from Arlington, Virginia. Lawrence, we got about a minute and a half, pal.
Here it is. The people that are so strong for Dean and are so angry at what the Democratic Party has become.
Right.
What do you think the odds are that the Dean people could end up hammering and screwing Dean over at the convention? What do you think the chances are that he could form a viable, ongoing, and expanding national third party, like the Republicans in 1856? Let's say.
These
are a lot of people that are really very angry at both parties.
Sure.
So when Dean stands up and goes, I'm from the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party.
Right.
They cheer because they've been betrayed by the Democratic Party.
I completely, I'm on board for that, whether it's with Dean or Kucinich. I'm totally on board for that. As far as a third party, the Democrats and the Republicans have stacked the deck so severely against the chance of a third party ever sucking air as to render the idea almost foolish to think about. Look at the Greens.
Yeah.
Have a lot of good stuff to say. Look at Buchanan's Independent Party. Look at what's his name? Who is the little guy from Texas?
Perot.
Perot. Look at all these people who could really motivate their so-called base, whether it was Nader or Perot or Buchanan, and yet were unable in so many instances, not necessarily Buchanan, but unable to get on ballots. The Democrats and the Republicans have really stacked it, our political system, so it's like two parties or nothing, either two parties or one. We got to change the whole idea of voting. There's got to be proportional voting, proportionate voting, where you vote for two or three people at the same time. Instant runoff voting, I think they call it. There's all kinds of reforms that have to happen. As far as Dean forming a third party, he would pull his core constituency with him. They would be Democrats, and it would die. It would help kill the Democratic Party, and we wind up with pure, beautifully outlined fascism. Which is what republicanism has become, and it's a shame but that's where we are, Lawrence.
Well, the thing I think that if Dean pulls, Dean has something that each of those other minority parties that you said before had. He has that appeal.
Yeah,
his people have all the energy, and God, are they some motivated kids.
I hear that. Hey, listen, we got a break.
Bye.
Thanks, Lawrence. Call us back. We'll talk about that again tomorrow night, Geneva. We're going to take a break. The official Bart Kopp astrologer is going to join us. Oh, well, I'm not going to listen. Oh, come on, for Christ's sake. Second hour. She's going to make some political forecasts for 2004. Program produced tonight by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall, the webmaster. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
No more lies, no more, no more lies.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer?
Yeah,
you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful.